Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we are going to be talking with Ed Tillett of Waterway Guide Media. And we all know that after Hurricane Matthew last week, there's been some significant damage in some places on the marine infrastructure along the Atlantic ICW. And really this week, there's been a lot of members and other boaters contacting us for information. So we have been trying to disseminate that as best we can and passing people to the places where there is up-to-date and good information. And one of those, of course, is Waterway Guide. So we've asked Ed to join us and fill us in on the status of things along the Intracoastal. Before we do introduce Ed, though, I want to take a moment to recognize our Admiral-level sponsors and to thank them for supporting AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. And with that out of the way, and while we're talking about Waterway Guide Media, I'd like to introduce Ed Tillett. Ed, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Kim. Good morning. Beautiful day here in Annapolis. As you know, the United States Sailboat Show was last week, and this week it's the Powerboat Show.
Right. So kind of fill us in on, since you are coming to us from Annapolis, give us some of the highlights you've seen at the show so far.
Well, it's always just great to be in Annapolis. Anybody who's spent any time here knows how much this means to the boating community worldwide. Some of the highlights include last week for sailors, a lot of sailboats apparently were delivered. A lot of folks, I've spoken with the insurance companies and the brokers and the new sellers, and there were a lot of contracts written last week at Sailboat, and that's good news. Obviously, we're always interested in our friends and family and those around the world sharing the joy of boating. So pretty much the same exhibitors as always. A lot of traffic last week at Sailboat. Thursday is always opening day, VIP day. Thursday and Friday, Waterway Guide exhibit was covered up, people coming in and buying the new guides for the year and talking about their experiences and where they're going. So just a fun-filled week last week. Saturday, we got some rain, a little bit of wind, a little dicey, but everyone put on their slickers and walked around. And as I always say when I'm talking with boaters, we're all adventurers and used to that kind of stuff, so it didn't keep anybody away as such. Then this week opened yesterday at the Powerboat Show. John I. Parker, our managing editor, and I are manning the exhibit. We had pretty good traffic for Powerboat yesterday. It'll continue to build through the weekend. So it's good. The powerboaters are out in full force. And you know what's fun to me, and I'll close on this for the report from Annapolis, is so many people who come up and say they're looking at Waterway Guide. Of course, we always say, do you know about us? Oh, well, yes, or no, I haven't heard of you. And the next question is, what kind of boat do you have? Where are you going? We're planning for the future. We're dreaming. We're about 4 or 5 years out from getting started. But and then the next question is, tell us about this great loop. And we get a chance to say, hey, let me tell you about, you need to go to, have you ever heard of AGLCA? No, you need to go check that out. And they're online and they're looking at it. So there's a lot of pent up dreams and folks who are interested, and quite frankly, they're coming in younger and more excited. So it's always fun, and then this is the international accents. People fly in from all over the world here. So we're talking with folks from Germany and from England and from across the sea. So it's good. The report is good. Energy is good. And as you know, if it has to do with boating, it's usually fun and adventuresome. So it's good to be here.
That's exactly right, and we always love to hear that there's a lot of interest in the loop out there. It's on a lot of bucket lists. You're right. It's always very upbeat at the shows. We're on the beginning end kind of on the boat show season, so it is very exciting out there and very upbeat. But we do want to cover a topic that unfortunately is not so upbeat, and that is some of the damage that was done along the waterways by Hurricane Matthew. So kind of in general, give us a general overview of what's happening, how the recovery is going along the waterways.
I can only report what has been reported, as you know. And we put our team at Waterway Guide to work on this over the weekend. it became pretty evident that as a media company, as a company that's going on its 70th anniversary of operation, 70 years in 2017 since the first Waterway Guide was produced, and our web application and our Waterway Explorer, our website, that we had a responsibility to get things together and get out there and figure out what's happening. So we put out the clarion call to, we put about five folks in the office on outbound telephone calls to start collecting information. We started getting a lot of emails in from our subscribers and constituents and users and interested parties and, you know, all kinds of folks. So I'm in Annapolis, so I'm not on the ground in South Carolina. I only know what I can read, but I can tell you that what the team has published. We put out a news alert and a nav alert twice a day, news once and then nav on Monday, then again on Tuesday. Then we put out a news on Wednesday. Today is Friday. We just posted our nav alerts for today. So anyone who's listening to this live can go to waterwayguide.com and look under nav alerts, and you'll find the updates. But essentially what we're hearing is that it's spotty off and on. A lot of aids to navigation are off station. Some marinas got hammered and others didn't. It appears that South Carolina and Georgia and perhaps northern Florida got the worst of it, southern North Carolina, up into northern North Carolina, into the Virginia border, didn't seem to get hammered, although there was some early on flooding there. Power's still out in some places, but I was looking at our Nav Alert posting this morning trying to get prepared for this, and there's so much to cover that depending on where someone is will depend on how they are going to be affected. We got word on Monday that a bunch of boats went from Coinjock all the way to Beaufort and had absolutely no problems at all. So the word is it's spotty, check it out. But boaters who do this on a regular basis look at the details and look at and they research their routes. They file their float plans. They pay attention to what's going on. And our only recommendation at this point is call ahead where you're going, find out if facilities are open, and pay attention to the water because there is some debris in various places, and pay attention to shoaling. So that's about what I've got at this point. Everyone seems to think the guys at Active Captain have posted some great stuff this week. The guys at Dakwa posted some information. I've looked around. You posted some information as well. All the boating community has gone out to research and find information and get it posted out there. And I think it was great that everyone jumped in and did that and cleared up there were a couple of murky places, and we can talk about that in a moment. But that's what I've got this morning. I can't give you mile-by-mile coverage at this point, but our Nav Alerts have, and others in the community have posted information. Does that answer the question?
That does answer the question. It's really not possible for us to cover every marina or every aid to navigation that maybe is not at the right station at this point in this kind of a format. But the information it's changed a lot in the past week in terms of what information is available. And you're right, Ed, that the boating community has really come together to try and share that information. So tell folks how they can get some of the resources you mentioned. How can they get your Nav Alerts?
Well, first of all, it's the way we set up our Nav Alerts and news is through a subscription. So if anyone listening has not gone to waterwayguide.com, that's the first place to start. And if you go to waterwayguide.com, a screen will come up and it will pretty much recognize where you are. It's a trip planning tool is what we designed. It's been out for a couple of years, and it's great reviews. There's a lot of chart layers. You can use NOAA charts, or you can use Navionics backgrounds or satellite or street map, and we do overlays on that with various pieces of information. But if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, in the lower right corner, it says subscribe to our news, and that's where you get news and nav alerts. So on Wednesday, our news feed comes out, and that's news about the industry or whatever's hot that particular week. And then on Friday morning at 9 o'clock or so, we post our Nav Alerts. And it's by region, by books that we publish. Waterway Guide publishes Cuba, Bahamas, Southern, Intracoastal Waterway, up to Norfolk, Chesapeake Bay, which takes you from Norfolk to Cape May, Northern Edition, which takes you all the way up to Canada and then over to the Erie Canals, and then Great Lakes, which is Great Lakes down the Mississippi and Tenton as part of the loop. So those are the seven regions that we post navigation alerts for. So wherever you are, just click on that region, and you'll see what nav alerts have been posted that day. How do we collect those? We collect them from me, from you, from anyone who sends them in to our many of you may know Ted Staley. He's our senior advisor and manages this process. We also get them from the Code of Federal Registry. We get them from the local notice to mariners that come out on Wednesday and Thursday of every week, and from all sources, and then we post them and present them in the nav alert. So you subscribe to that by going to the bottom right corner of waterwayguide.com and saying subscribe, put in your email address, and you will get an email every Wednesday with news and every Friday with nav alerts.
And, Ed, if someone has not yet subscribed to that, so, of course, they wouldn't have gotten this week's earlier nav alerts and news alerts into their email box. Is there a place that they can go to see those?
Yes.
Those nav alerts flow through onto your Explorer, do they not?
That's correct. That's correct. So a couple of ways to do that is to go to waterwayguide.com, and across the top of the page, typical web page, there's a link up there that says News and Events. And if you click on the news and events, it will take you to a page that contains news, and then you will see a link to nav alerts in there as well. You also, you know, picture's worth a thousand words. It's difficult to describe this in a radio interview, but if, in fact, you are in Waterway Explorer and you click on Explore here and you find your location on the chart, which is pretty easy to do, you'll figure that out, there's a drop-down menu that says nav alerts. And every one of those nav alerts is posted as an overlay in a yellow triangle with a red exclamation point in the middle of it. Click on that icon, and it will a pop-up box will appear with all the information in it, and then you can click for even more details. And you can post a comment and say, I was there, that's correct, or I was there, and that's not correct. And that's part of that whole user-generated crowdsourcing approach. So you can communicate and comment on nav alerts, on marinas, on anchorages, all the stuff that's in the Waterway Explorer. It's the wave of the future. It's what we're doing. We're a community that communicates with our computers and our phones and our iPads and other devices that we use.
Right. And for the members that I've been hearing from, thankfully a lot of our members are in the inland waterways right now, so they're not too affected by the storm. But I have heard from some members who are on the East Coast, one in fact in Annapolis, who is wanting to head south but unsure of conditions and whether or not to leave that safe harbor. So that, using the Waterway Guide Explorer, that gives you a visual picture, you can kind of follow the chart on your screen to where you intend to go and check out those nav alerts to really see, is it safe to make my way south or should I stay put for a little bit longer? So in addition to the reports that are coming in to you and to DACWA and to Active Captain, that visual to me is very helpful for trip planning at this particular time to get the up-to-date information. So we certainly appreciate that. As I mentioned, a lot of loopers are not too impacted by this right now because they're still on the inland waterways. But as time goes by, they will eventually be working their way to the East Coast. Have you seen any long-term damage or things to infrastructure, to bridges or anything like that that may take several months to fix and may be a problem as the seasonal migration of loopers heads to the intracoastal waterway?
Great question. Scanning the information real quickly, it doesn't look like that there is a bridge that's stuck down and no one can get through it. I think the biggest issue is going to be paying attention to the aids to navigation. And really, as you get there, was there some shoaling? We know there was. Was there shoaling where you're going? Has the channel moved a little bit? Coast Guard hasn't gotten there with their aids to navigation crew to move it yet. So that's where that crowdsourcing user-generated insight is so important, because if I went through and bumped bottom and I took the time to report that to everyone else and I said, you know, I bumped bottom, but I was right in the middle of the channel, and the next person comes through and says, well, I moved a little to the left and I made it, or someone says, I moved a little to the right and I really bumped bottom, then you can start deducing what needs to happen when you get ready to go through. But to answer your question, I have not heard of any, I haven't seen in the nav alerts yet any bridges or any long-term, but I'm sure that something's going to come up somewhere. So it's like every prudent mariner, you know, you go out the day before and you look around and see what's going on. Ann and I just took our boat down to Albemarle Sound out of Norfolk a couple of weeks ago. I sat down a couple of days beforehand and looked at all the bridges and see if there's any construction going on and what's opening and what's the bridge schedule. And sure enough, North Landing Bridge was only opening halfway due to some damage, and you know, Gilmerton has done this and the railroad bridge is here and all that. So it's planning. So, but I haven't seen anything at this point that says everyone's going to get stopped. No, ma'am.
Okay. Good. Good to know. We're going to take a short break right here and have a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the reporting factor, the crowdsource factor, and how that has been helpful with this storm. We'll be back in a moment.
Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. My guest today is Ed Tillett, who is the General Manager of Waterway Guide Media. And we are talking about Hurricane Matthew and its impact on the waterways. Ed, I think the word you used is it's a bit spotty where there's damage, and I think that's a great description. Even here in Charleston, there are some marinas that really had no damage at all and others that were pretty well devastated by some damage to the docks. So, of course, we're urging people to call ahead and to use some of the information sources that are coming out to check on things before they head out on a cruise this week or in the near future. Something that seems different to me about Matthew from previous storms is just how much information was available during the storm and pretty close to immediately after that, so we could all start gathering it. And, of course, wireless internet is everywhere, and boaters are carrying their smartphones and have that information. So it seems to me to be a much more immediate availability of some of the details, which I think in some ways, of course, helps, and in other ways it just adds a little bit to the confusion if you're not getting accurate reports. What are your thoughts on the whole issue of the immediacy of the information and its effects on the boating community?
Well, first of all, it's just incredible. It's just the best thing that could happen to news and information. You and I met a couple of years ago when I came on board Waterway Guide, and first things I gave you was a perspective of my background, where I had started. And I started at 19 years old in a radio station doing news when I was in college, and that grew into a 20-year career as a radio and television news anchor, and ultimately 5 years with the NBC affiliate in Norfolk, Portsmouth, Virginia Beach area, as a weather guy. So I've done this a lot and covered storms and been one of those guys that stands out on the beach with a microphone, and which is, it's a cliche now to see a guy who's, his hood is filled with air and wind, and he's standing there against the breeze and going, "It's really blowing out here." And, so I've done this and I had to do this and covered storms and all of that. And I'll tell you that it's the immediacy factor today is phenomenal. It's great. But you're right. You have to filter that, and you have to believe in the people who are filing the information, and that they are they're looking at it accurately. They're measuring it properly. They're in the location that they say they are. And then weigh that with other factors, such as how many people have called in about that particular flooding issue. Do I have video of it? When is the tide going to go down? It's great because it does give us information. The biggest issue we have is wading through all of that and figuring out what's valid and what's not and how it's going to impact me, and not getting so frightened that I become paralyzed, that I don't want to move because I can't unravel it all. I can't get my head around all of the stuff that's happening. That's why the other day when the Coast Guard reported on their home port site that the Intracoastal Waterway was closed, a lot of people were going there and saying the Intracoastal Waterway is closed. What does that mean? And the Waterway Guide reported that the home port ICW report from the U.S. Coast Guard, North Carolina sector, was closed. Well, as soon as we put that out there, it created a dialogue. It created questions. A lot of us started asking right off the bat. We did, the moment we posted it. We felt a responsibility to post it because the Coast Guard had posted it, and we wanted folks to be aware that we're checking in with this stuff. But we didn't stop with that. We started burrowing in, making calls. What does closed mean, Coast Guard? What is the captain of the port saying? Is the Intercoastal Waterway a port? No, it's not. What happens if you say it's closed and I transit anyway? Are you going to shoot me? Are you going to pull me over? What does that mean? Well, as we continued to unravel it, the Coast Guard eventually reported that, in fact, it wasn't closed as such to recreational vehicles. They had made a mistake. It's really vessels over 500 tons. Well, a lot of seasoned mariners know what that means when they say it's closed. And unraveling all of that took us about 8 or 9 hours. But in the meantime, guess what happened? The Coast Guard got a lot of calls, and they had to clarify and get their act together and say, okay, this is what we really meant. And, yeah, that's not really – we didn't really mean it's closed. It's this. And then all the lights turn green, and they open it back up. Long answer to the question about what has information exchange done for us, but what that prompted, whether it was active captain posting information and saying, okay, this is what's really happening, pay attention, Coast Guard is doing this, whether it was us posting it, Salty Southeast Cruisers, AGLCA, it forces a dialogue and it forces a discussion among all of us to get the answers that we want. So that's the advantage of it, quite frankly. Now, if you're Chicken Little and you think the sky is falling and you get all these reports and you become paralyzed, then that's not good, because at the end of the day, as a prudent mariner, you have to make your decisions based on the information that you have, and you have to proceed with caution at all times and stay in the channel at all times. And in a situation like this, slow down, take it easy, read what you can, contact your friends, call the marinas. So many resources are available to the boater today that they didn't have, that we didn't have 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So that's my answer, Kim, a long-winded one, but that's our perspective.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right on those points. Tell us a little bit more, because in this information age, one of the issues is the plethora of information that's floating around. What does Waterway Guide do, you know, both about Hurricane Matthew, but even beyond that, and as your normal course of business, how do you go about weeding through all of that information that's coming in to make sure that what you're putting out there is accurate and up to date?
We have a key word in the office. We think it distinguishes us from a lot of others, and it's called verify, verify, verify. We verify and validate everything that comes in. We make calls. When we get reviews on a marina, we get a navigation alert posting from someone with an observation. If it is at all unclear what that person or boater is saying, we email them back or we contact them on the telephone, because our staff is large enough to do that. That's our objective. So, for instance, the other day when we began that dialogue with the Coast Guard, I bet we called them 10 times to get up the chain of command to get clarification on the word closed. In the meantime, others were calling as well. But we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 or 8 of us are engaged in this process all the time. So our process is information comes in, we review it for clarity, content, spelling, and any, you know, disparaging remarks that probably should not be put in the public space. And we either post it immediately, depending on the level. Someone says, it's a great marina, docks are great, pet friendly, love the guys there. We don't have to verify that. That's an opinion that someone posts. Someone calls, sends an email in and says, marina was terrible, docks were rickety, and no one was there when we got there. Well, we're going to send that to the marina, and we're going to say, would you verify this? And you wouldn't believe how sometimes people have a bone to pick, and they go, that boat wasn't even there. Because we don't even know that person. So verification, same thing with nav alerts. We're working the navigation alerts and those postings by verifying and going back to the sources and reconfirming and cross-checking and cross-referencing. I came out of news. I'm the guy that runs Waterway Guide, and I had a policy in my news department and newsrooms where I came from, which was, you know, I want two or three sources to validate and verify this. I'm not going to take your word for it just because you say that's the way that it, I'm going to cross-reference it. So that's what we do.
That's great, and that obviously results in top-notch information. So the boaters out there, I know, appreciate that. Ed, before we wrap up, is there anything else you feel that we should know about the happenings surrounding Hurricane Matthew?
No, the only thing I know at this point is, you know, there obviously are issues along that southeast coast. Just check the resources and check the sources. You know, it was a good exercise for us. We're going to go in and conduct a lessons learned activity coming up here. You know, the old after action review, AAR. We'll go in and say, okay, should we have posted that Coast Guard closed notification as soon as we did, or should we have really burrowed down? That's what we'll do. Other than that, I think we've kind of covered it at this point. If you're headed south or you're headed north, you're down there. Check the waterways. We got a lot of nav alerts posted this morning about the nav aids off station, so check those and get engaged. If you got a smartphone or a tablet or a PC or somehow or even a telephone, pick us up and call us and say, "Hey, I just saw this," and we'll post it. But other than that, no, it was a great exercise. We all know we dodged a bullet. Could have been a lot uglier than it is. The eyewall never did really come ashore, so we're in pretty good shape. But it's always great to talk with you, Kim. Thanks for having us.
You too, Ed. And for those boaters that are out there and are coming across, you know, some things that maybe need to be reported, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just go to waterwayguide.com and just open up either a nav alert or info at the bottom and send an email. We've got an entire team that checks every email that pings in my box, and about 9 of the others of us get that information, and we've scrambled to get it. So if you have any observations, go to waterwayguide.com, type in info at waterwayguide.com. You can send them directly to me, ETILLET, at waterwayguide.com. Navalerts at waterwayguide.com. Throwing a lot of stuff out at you, but Navalerts, ETILLET, or info, someone will get that information, and it will be verified, vetted when they call you back, and it will get posted for the rest of the community to see immediately.
All right, perfect. Ed Tillett, General Manager for Waterway Guide Media, thank you for joining me. And for those of you who will be at our fall rendezvous next week, Waterway Guide will be very well represented there by Ted Staley. So we thank Ted for joining us next week as well. Ed, once again, thank you. We appreciate your time. And for our listeners, we appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.